The White House formally announced last hour that non-essential travel to Mexico will stop and all people caught trying to enter the country illegally will be returned to the border without processing. For more on this and other ways the coronavirus pandemic is upending our immigration system, we're joined now by KJZZ's Matthew Casey. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Lauren.
Okay, so what are the new details concerning our borders first?
Well, these are mutual agreements with Canada and Mexico that will allow trade to continue. They have certain exceptions, and they take effect at midnight. The acting Homeland Security Secretary said during that briefing that the CDC is ordering his agency not to let anyone into the country who crosses the border illegally. So Chad Wolf says the agency is going to start immediately sending people back to Mexico and Canada, as you said, if they come here without documentation.
The CDC director has determined that the introduction and spread of the coronavirus in the department's border patrol stations and detention facilities presents a serious danger to migrants, our frontline agents and officers, and the American people.
So thinking about back up here in Phoenix, Friday mornings in immigration court are set aside for cases involving children who are detained. Now the Justice Department is saying they're using video conferencing. Is that going to make these proceedings safer?
Yes, it will. If you happen to be one of the people appearing on the screen instead of in person, the Executive Office for Immigration Review did not tell me who will actually be on the screen. Their website urges everyone to follow the CDC's guidelines. Here in Arizona, the Florence Immigrant and Refugee Rights Project joined a sort of unusual coalition that includes a union of ICE lawyers in calling on the Justice Department to shut down all immigration courts. For the Florence Project, advocacy attorney Laura Bellows says that for a juvenile docket, kids typically come from different shelters, case managers have to exchange documents because it's still a paper system, and there's a lot of close contact.
And at this point, we really think that having those dockets going on is really not following kind of the guidance that the government has asked us to and incorporating those social distancing models.
The Florence Project, I know, has publicly called on ICE to release people who are at high risk of developing COVID-19. So what legal tools are available to accomplish this if ICE isn't listening?
Well, Bellows says they really don't have many because of the changes made by the Trump administration.
It is more difficult to secure release for clients these days than it was a few years ago.
So the Florence Project is doing things like asking for humanitarian parole, which goes directly to ICE, and seeking bond hearings for people who are actually eligible. Bellows tells me that they have identified 40 clients who would be considered at high risk to become infected with coronavirus. These are people who are over age 65 and have health problems like diabetes or a heart condition.
It's really, really concerning to us that there is the very real potential of this virus entering into the detention centers where over 5,000 adults are held in Arizona on any given day.
So, Matt, has ICE responded to these calls to release the most vulnerable?
Not when I asked them earlier this week. And Bellows told me yesterday that she didn't think any Florence Project clients had been let out of detention. ICE's website talks about proactive testing and prevention by cohorting detainees, which means to hold them in groups based on age, for instance, right? And their website says there were no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in detention centers as of Tuesday. That was earlier this morning. The website had not been updated. Obviously, that was a few days ago.
All right. KJZZ's Matthew Casey. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thanks, Lauren.